the United States added 142,000 clean energy jobs in 2023. A U.S. Department of Energy report released last August found clean energy employment grew more than twice as fast as the rest of the energy sector and the overall economy. So what's the outlook for green jobs in Greater Cincinnati? And has it changed under the Trump administration? You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about green jobs locally are Co-op Cincy co-director Kristen Barker, environmental education and outreach coordinator for URSANCO and the Foundation for Ohio River Education, Nick Callahan, and Fuse Executive Fellow for Green Workforce Development in the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability, Thanapat Vichachat. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
And about what kind of industries are we talking about when we describe green jobs?
Green jobs actually span across various industry sectors, Lucy. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics actually has two definitions of green jobs. To paraphrase, they are essentially jobs that will help to protect the environment, conserve natural resources. Now, when we take that to an extra step with regards to, I think most people tend to think of conservation, environmental careers. But when we're thinking about clean energy, a lot of the jobs are actually going to fall into the construction sector. So electrification, energy efficiency, et cetera.
So, Nick, this can span a lot of ground. I mean, I was looking at the green jobs bulletin board, and even a position with La Soupe is a green job. How broad is this?
There's so many incredible groups and partnerships in this area that like you were just saying, span everything from construction to, I know of sustainability roles at TQL as well. So pretty much any organization that is in existence is going to have some sort of green initiatives and really wanting to have roles that focus on that.
Kristen, how much growth have we seen in green jobs in the region in the last few years? Is this something that's growing a lot?
Well, you were highlighting some statistics nationally at the beginning of this interview, and we're really on track and on par here. And I just want to say a real quick thing to your point about La Soupe a moment ago. It's considered a green job because you're reducing food waste and you are repurposing that. So it's, again, that conservation that Thanapat talked about. So it's really, really wide-ranging. But to Thanapat's earlier point, I think one of the things that's so exciting is the green construction jobs, which has some of the most explosive growth. And what's so cool about that in particular is these are family-sustaining jobs. These are pathways to family-sustaining jobs. So that's really important for our region.
And Co-op Cincy's been very involved in that specifically, haven't you? I believe you all received a grant in 2023 related to green jobs that could sustain families. Talk to us a little bit about that, how that work's been going.
Yeah, so we received a Department of Labor grant, and the idea was recognizing these amazing trends. So even absent federal investment can be phenomenal because it, in the Inflation Reduction Act, which got passed and so forth, can like just skyrocket things and accelerate things to a phenomenal degree. But even if that doesn't stay fully intact, as it's been undergoing several challenges in the new administration, this pathway is there. No one is saying, oh, I want to pay more energy bills. I want my utility bill to be higher. So everyone from businesses to congregations to residents are looking for ways to save on utility bills. And so there's just such an opening for electrification, which can save on utility bills, for solar, for energy efficiency work. And so what we did with our Department of Labor grant is pull together about 40 different organizations. And we recognize it's a multi-pronged thing to try to figure out how can we create the best jobs possible. So then you kind of ask the question, first you ask the question, what are green jobs? But another question is, what are good jobs? And so the Biden administration had actually put together 8 points on that, and they were around things you might expect, like wages and benefits, training and safety, organizational culture, diversity and equity and inclusion. And so we were looking at all of these different elements, and we were looking at it from a perspective of building a pipeline of projects that could kind of attach themselves to creating the best quality jobs with the most worker voice, et cetera, the best organizational culture. Thanapat led up the group on workforce. So what do we have going on in this? Because what is tricky about this is already, even without all the acceleration, we do not have enough people right now for all the jobs available. So this is like an area that really requires extra support. But we had a group of contractors in to support them, and also federal incentives to kind of say, how can we amplify things and take federal, local, and do the most in our region? How do we maximize it? So we had several groups, including one looking at policy. Those are the five.
And Thanapat, what kind of training does it take?
It varies. It really does, based on the job. I think with regards to the Good Green Jobs initiatives, I think we were initially looking for jobs that had low barriers to entry. And I think we found that many green jobs don't have kind of high educational qualifications. So they might not require a 2 or 4 year degree to get in. But they do require some skills or credentials. So I think with regard to developing programs or expanding programs that are already doing good work in this space, we really had to assess what are those jobs. So we did initialize a formal green workforce landscape analysis report in partnership with Co-op Cincy and the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber. So we're excited that that report is actually going to be publicly released May 7th, and we'll have a public release event at City Hall at 1 o'clock.
Nick, do you find a lot of interest in green jobs when you're doing your outreach for Orsanco and the Foundation for Ohio River Education? Is this something people are hungry to learn more about?
Definitely. Even in my previous role, I used to work at Newport Aquarium as well. And especially when you're working in environmental education, it's so easy to get people interested and excited about green jobs and the planet. Like, I mean, it's not too hard. You have an animal in front of them and people just light up, and it's just so much fun and exciting. So that's one benefit of environmental education, is it's a space where we can introduce these more complex topics and different types of career options and really get people hooked on them and excited for those. So I know in our programs, we specifically highlight maritime industry jobs. So that's ranging from B&B riverboats to shipping companies, because we are conveniently one of the largest industrial corridors in the entire country. The Ohio River is such a heart to our local economy. So we are constantly trying to bring up those job opportunities. And we've even had students apply to jobs at B&B riverboats during our education programs, which was truly incredible to see.
Yeah. We're talking in this recorded conversation about green jobs in Greater Cincinnati. Kristen, you were talking about the Biden administration's priorities, which include a number of factors that are not the Trump administration's priorities. I wanted to double check, have you already received all that grant funding? Is there anything you all were looking forward to in terms of funding that's in jeopardy? How has this change in administration affected, you know, the work you've been doing?
In terms of this Department of Labor grant, we were gratefully able to pay all of our partners and finish that grant work. I think some of the other grant opportunities that we have applied for follow-on funding, those no longer exist. That is an impact. But what I will say, though, is regardless of the administration, having good quality jobs, jobs with worker voice, jobs with safety and education and a pathway for career is something anyone can get around on any part of a political partisan. It's not as a nonpartisan thing, right? And that's one of the things I think that's been exciting about this work. And one of the co-ops that's part of Co-op Cincy is called Sustainergy. So it's a worker-owned cooperative that, when Thanapat talks about low barriers to entry, you just need a high school education. But then you get to do solar, you get to do energy efficiency, you get to learn the financials, you get to be part of decision making. And so there's so many different exciting opportunities, get a variety of credentials that Thanapat alluded to. So I think this space, and again, is nonpartisan. It's like what our whole region wants. We want good, dignified jobs. We want workers. I think there's such a focus, too. We love when there are local things, when we don't have these enormous companies coming in. And that's actually something we have to pay attention to right now, because lots of our tradespeople and our companies have aging owners. And so something that's really important is the succession planning. And interestingly, at Co-op Cincy, we have a loan fund that can help existing companies sell to their workers for fair market value. So it's something that I just want everyone to keep in mind, because it's critically important we maintain these unbelievably cool skilled trade companies.
We will continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our recorded conversation about green jobs in Greater Cincinnati. My guests are Co-op Cincy co-director Kristen Barker, environmental education and outreach coordinator for Orsanco and the Foundation for Ohio River Education, Nick Callahan, and Fuse executive fellow for green workforce development in the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability, Thanapat Vichitat. Thanapat, we were talking about the change in administrations. The Biden administration had a focus on job growth in underserved communities. What did that look like in Cincinnati?
That initiative was kind of ingrained in a lot of different federal grant opportunities. And it was essentially the J40, Justice 40, which essentially meant that 40% of the grant funds should benefit those low-income communities. With a change in administration, I think that the intent that we know in our community is that there still is income inequality. So we do want to focus our efforts to still support those from low-income, marginalized communities the best we can for economic opportunities for all.
Yeah. Was there a lot of money that flowed from the federal government through the Inflation Reduction Act for the purposes of training people in underserved communities and that sort of thing?
That's what we were working on. We were working on identifying what funds were available to tap into. And the Office of Environment and Sustainability did secure a lot of grant funding. Just a small percentage had workforce development components like the EPA Solar for All. So with regards to the kind of the freezing and unfreezing of funds, we're still a little bit uncertain with regards to if those funds will still make it to our community.
Okay, so that's still a question mark, because I was going to ask how the Trump administration has been critical of the Inflation Reduction Act. Do you know yet what that's going to mean for this grant funding, these programs?
Unfortunately not. It's really been a kind of a back and forth. We're taking it day by day with regards to, fingers crossed, hoping that the funds will still essentially make it through whatever hurdles they're stuck at.
And Kristen, it sounds like it's still a question mark for you, or is it a definitely, you're certain you're not going to get some of this funding that you were hoping to get in follow-up grants and things?
I think we're pretty sure most of those follow-on grants are really gone. But we are very much paying attention day by day, like Thanapat says, to the freezing, unfreezing. Are things flowing? Are they not through different parts of the Inflation Reduction Act? Because of the opportunities, we've been working directly with congregations that are in the process of doing energy efficiency, solarizing, et cetera. And some of those funds really make that possible. So we're paying attention to that. It also makes a difference for this group of contractors that we brought together. It gives them more opportunity to work in those ways, you know? And so we're paying very close attention, hopefully, to Thanapat. It's fingers crossed for us as well that things flow through as we were anticipating previously.
What are the implications of that uncertainty for these contractors?
For small contractors, and those were the primary group we were working with and continue to work with through our Department of Labor work, it is actually really challenging to have that level of uncertainty, because customers make decisions. They want to hold up to see if they can get this funding. So how do you make do? Is there some pivot? Are there certain things? So all of our contractors are working on pivots and exploring different ways and kind of reaching out to additional customer segments as they wait to see what happens.
So, Nick, what does your outreach look like day to day in terms of how are you communicating about green jobs to the people that you're talking to? What are some of the questions you're getting?
As far as our education and outreach, we have a bunch of different types of programs. As the agency that monitors the Ohio River and our foundation, we do education across 8 states. So, of course, it has to look a little bit different based on the community we're trying to reach. So, locally in the Cincinnati area, we take students, whether they're from third grade all the way through college, out onto boats on the Ohio River and really explore what it's like being a river scientist. So it gets really into the nitty-gritty of plankton, Ohio River fish, water chemistry, water quality, and really gets into all those topics. And in each of those, we discuss job opportunities and some different organizations that they might be able to pursue if that specific portion of the program is their interest, while also, of course, highlighting, like, if you love all of this, hi, we're right here in Cincinnati, and it's really convenient. It's really cool having an entire watershed organization that covers 981 miles, starting in New York all the way down to Illinois, right here in our backyard in Cincinnati. So that is really cool. As far as questions, we're constantly getting students saying, hey, what you all do, what you teach about, what you're out in the field doing with river science, we're really interested in and really want to pursue. How do we do it? And that's where we can always have the conversation with them. Well, if you want to go to college, the 4-year degree path is to be a biologist, to be an environmental scientist. That's normally how you're going to get in a lab doing a lot of the environmental science field jobs. But if that's not the route for you, there are plenty of other jobs. Like I mentioned earlier, this is where we frequently will highlight maritime industry jobs, because you're on the water and inevitably you're doing water quality. If you're working on the water, it matters to you and quite a bit.
Pat, you were talking before about how not all of the jobs that are in the kind of green sector need these college degrees that Nick was just referring to, but you do need some training, some certifications. What does that entail? I'm sure it's different from industry to industry, but how much or how little time does somebody have to spend to become qualified for some of these green jobs?
So I'd say if we're looking at the construction industry and the building trades, there are viable pathways to living wage jobs, and that's the apprenticeship model. So the union apprenticeships through the Greater Cincinnati Apprenticeship Council, such as the electricians, IBEW, Local 212, have apprenticeship models. They're traditionally about 4 years, but it's essentially on-the-job training. So you can come in with very little skill and work and learn as an apprentice under journeyman. And by the time you're finished, you essentially can become a journeyman making a family-sustaining wage.
Yeah. Kristen, there's been so much collaboration among local groups for the training that it takes for these green jobs. You talked about all the different organizations that you brought together for the work you've been doing at Co-op Cincy. How important has that collaboration been to really encourage and grow green jobs in this region?
I think it's essential. I think when we started looking at, well, how do you create pathways to good jobs, it's like, well, you can't. There's no silver bullet. It's not like you can just look at workforce. Workforce has to be in conversation with the contractors, right? And the contractors need to be in conversation with the pipeline of projects. And then there's a whole variety of incentives, and we want to figure out how to synergize and maximize that. And then policy can play a role in all of this. So it's like there's so many important partners. If we really want to be successful and have lasting change, we need to involve all of them. And so we're working on it, right? We've made some progress, but there's so much more to be done. But we're way more effective together.
Yeah. Nick, I'm going to put you on the spot with this one. The Greater Cincinnati Earth Coalition will be announcing the launch of an environmental career path program at this coming weekend's Greater Cincinnati Earth Day Festival. We've got more information about the festival on our website, wvxu.org. Do you know what that's about, what this environmental career path program is about?
Yeah, so the real focus of it is giving community members the opportunity to meet in person with so many of these different career paths that we've been discussing. So one of the groups that will be there is going to be Greater Cincinnati Environmental Educators, which is a collaboration of over 30 different environmental education and outreach organizations in the Greater Cincinnati area. So it's really an opportunity if you have any interest at all in any jobs in sustainability, or if you're just looking for a job and think, hey, maybe I could find something really cool and find a new job for me, this is the event for you. You'll have the opportunity to meet with so many different types of potential employers and learn about the career paths that they have for sustainability.
Yeah. And I guess I'm wondering, I'll ask all of you, I'll start with you, Thanapat. Are you optimistic that we're going to continue to see growth in green jobs in the region?
I am. I think that green jobs are needed. They're necessary. It's, in my mind, like a triple win. You know, they're good for the planet. They're good for people. They're good for the environment. And regardless of the federal funding kind of landscape, I think we saw the federal funding landscape as almost like an accelerant. It can help us move faster towards positive change. But without it, I think we can still be resilient, innovative, and work towards our climate goals.
Yeah. What do you think, Kristen?
I'm incredibly optimistic. And I think it's realistic that we will continue to move full speed ahead. Part of the pipeline group of this Good Green Jobs was this group of congregations. There's Faith Communities Go Green, and they all are so working towards how can we reduce. It's crazy because utilities are such a high percentage of the cost for congregations, and it's really challenging. They want to put that money toward mission. They're so motivated on every front. So people who are motivated on every front will find a way. And I think there's so, again, like I said, no one wants to go, oh, my bill is going higher. So exciting. Everyone wants to see it go the other way. So that's a universal desire. Good jobs are a universal desire. You know, lots of people care about our planet, but there's so many wins on this one. It's going to move forward.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Nick?
Yeah, so I know the old saying is knowledge is power, but knowledge is also opportunity. The more we learn and progress in science, the more we know to be able to look for. So inevitably, like one example recently being PFAS monitoring in the water, that's just another job opportunity that has been created. So the more we know, the more jobs there's going to be pursuing careers in this field.
Well, I've been talking with Co-op Cincy co-director Kristen Barker, environmental education and outreach coordinator for Orsanco and the Foundation for Ohio River Education, Nick Callahan, and Fuse executive fellow for green workforce development in the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability, Thanapat Vichitat. Thank you all so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy.
Yeah.
Greater Cincinnati Earth Day Festival on April 26th will have a green career fair. You can find a link with more information on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.